Hey guys, welcome back for another monthly recap. This one is going to be mainly focused on buyers groups. I just spent a lot of time this month working on buying groups, mostly on Best Buy. And then we also had the Apple Vision Pro release. But first, I want to say thanks to everyone who came to the meetup. It was just a really great time, and we had people from all over that came by. There might have even been more people that came from out of town than that were local to Portland. And I've said this already a few times, but one of the main reasons I wanted to start the podcast was for the meetups, and it just makes me really happy that we were able to have such a great turnout. We had like, I think 15 or 20 people, and it's just great to have people that you can talk about churning in person. It's not really that often that you can do that. There's just so much to talk about, and I feel like 3 hours was not enough. I know some other groups have meetups where it's like a multi-day event, and that does kind of start to make sense why they would want to do that. So we'll see. Maybe next time we can plan something a little bit bigger. I probably will be going to the Miles to Memories meetup in May. And they just said in Slack that they'll be announcing the schedule in the next few days, which is pretty cool to even have enough events that need to be scheduled. So yeah, I'll probably be going to that, and maybe I'll get some ideas for what to do next. Also, someone posted in my Slack group about a Bay Area meetup, so feel free to check that out if you're local to that area. I think it is also posted on Reddit somewhere if you don't use Slack. So yeah, once again, shout out to everyone that came last weekend, and looking forward to doing it again sometime. Okay, so the first thing for the monthly recap was the Apple Vision Pro. I know this didn't really go as well that we had hoped. It was a bit frustrating because at first, most of the buying groups were offering like $400 to $500 above cost. And since it's a $3,500 item, that would be more than enough to cover sales tax. So for people paying sales tax, it would still make sense to do the deal. However, this ended up being a really volatile item because, well, first of all, it's $3,500. And so people were a bit unsure of the demand. There's also a bit of the question on the whole sizing thing, which might make it a little bit more difficult for resale. But I don't think it was a huge deal. I think it is possible to buy the band separately if you want to have a different size than the product originally came with. And yeah, the device looks really cool based on all of the stuff that I've seen. I haven't actually tried it out myself, but it really is a one-of-a-kind new piece of technology. Whether or not it's worth it is another question, but I feel like if you're some rich person in Dubai, you kind of have to have it. But yeah, apparently the market for these buying groups just went down a lot even before the product was released. And just a few days after the pre-sale, buyinggroup.com announced that they just weren't going to take it. They said they were going to take some of them at cost only at the Portland drop-off. And I think the way they handled it was the best out of any of the other groups. Just to say, like, yeah, this is too risky for us and we just don't want it anymore. Like, sorry if you had already made the order, but it's still early enough for you to cancel. And the thing you have to realize is that all of these buying groups are selling to the same market. So if you see one group that stops accepting an item or lowers the payout of it, chances are that other groups are going to follow that trend. And another thing you have to realize is that if the market just completely tanks on these things, and if that causes a buying group to go bankrupt, then it's going to be you that's holding the bag. So, I mean, ideally that wouldn't happen, and the buying groups don't want that to happen to them as well. But if someone is saying that this is too risky for us, that in turn also means that it is risky for us, because the money has to come from somewhere. So yeah, for me, I mean, I live in Portland, so I'm not paying sales tax to begin with. So I decided to stick it out and see what happens with these other groups, even though they are a bit less trustworthy in my opinion. But I think it was worth it. So let's start with the pre-sale. And this was on Friday, January 19th at 5 a.m. Pacific time. And yeah, this was a first-of-a-kind release, so no one really knew what the limits were going to be. And then on top of that, you had to have an Apple device to scan your face for the sizing. At least so I thought at the time. Of course, there were some workarounds to that. But yeah, so I was up at 5 a.m., and let's just be honest, I was not at the top of my game at 5 a.m. I mean, I just rolled out of bed like 5 minutes before the release. So I was sort of fumbling through my iPhone to try to get my face to scan and buy this thing. So I ended up getting 3 units shipped to my house for the pre-order. They were all sold out after like 10 or 15 minutes. But yeah, I know people that were able to get as many as 6 or 7, but I was just too slow. I actually was fumbling around with my wife's phone as well, trying to sort of do 2 at once, but I think that just slowed me down. And if I was really on my game and did it fast enough, I could have gotten all 7 or whatever the max is for one Apple ID. So yeah, I got those 3 units in. And then a few days after that, there were a few restocks for in-store pickup at the Apple Store. So the great thing about in-store pickup, of course, is that it doesn't require a shipping address. So if you're quantity limited in that sense, you can still get around that. And then also, if the market drops and it no longer makes sense to buy it, you can just cancel your pickup order. Whereas if you ship to home and your product is already en route, you still have to accept it and then return it, which is a bit more work. So yeah, I had my 3 units mailed to me, and then I took my first trip to the Apple Store at Washington Square, where I got 7 more. And the thing with in-store pickup was that they were packaging the items while you were picking them up. And it took about 10 to 15 minutes for each headset to be prepared, depending on how busy they were. And so the first trip when I went to Washington Square, that went really well. I was able to get my 7 headsets in just about an hour because there was no one else trying to buy them at the same time. And Washington Square felt pretty safe in the middle of the day on a weekday. I don't normally worry about that kind of thing, but I mean, it is like 25 grand worth of stuff. I did try to stay away from the Pioneer Place Apple Store because that one is like in the middle of downtown. It's probably fine. I don't know. I just thought like there are alternatives. So that was the first batch. I had those 7 plus the 3 that I shipped to home. And then I also had one that my brother bought, and I shipped all of these out to Max Out Deals. I really don't like them, but I did decide to use them for this deal because they were providing free shipping labels and paying about $100 or $200 above cost. What they were doing, which was really annoying, was that they were setting the payout price on the day of delivery. There's no commitment price, and the price is not locked in when you send it in. It is only when it is delivered. I don't think they had reduced their price by more than $100 in a day, but that could still be the difference if you were paying sales tax between making this deal profitable and not being profitable. For me, I mean, I would have been fine if it was just being paid at cost. I would still be making a decent amount of money on these. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. At this point, I think we all know what we're getting into when we do business with them. They're going to lower their payouts. They're going to be slow to pay. That's just how it is. I decided to send in my stuff to them because it was still worth it to me, even with that. And we can complain all we want about them, but we know what to expect. So that was the first batch, and you know how Max Out is. They pay out in like 3 weeks. So I just recently got my money for those. And then for the second batch, I had another 7 units on order at Bridgeport Village. So for this one, I had run my brother's credit card for one of the units, and then the other 6 were on mine, just because I was trying to help out my brother to hit some minimum spends on his new business goal, which worked out pretty great. And this Apple Store was much slower than Washington Square. There were a couple other people in there trying to buy their Apple Vision Pros, and even when it seemed like no one else was trying to buy anything, they were still being slow. And so originally I thought that like because we were 2 people in there, they could do both of us at the same time and sort of save time, but that was not the case. They had to do everything one by one. So yeah, I was in there for like 2 hours. My brother left after a little while because it was just taking a while and it didn't really make sense for us both to be there. But yeah, I mean, it is a considerable amount of work to be in there for 2 hours to get your stuff. And then you also have to request the label and ship them off. So like I said before about buying groups is that it is work. It takes a significant amount of time and energy to be doing this stuff. And I can definitely see why a lot of people didn't do this deal. But for me, it was still worth it. And so, yeah, this was not the end of it. So once I had these 7 units from the second batch, this was on Friday, and I requested my labels from Max Out Deals on Friday afternoon. And then they didn't process my label on Saturday. And then on Sunday afternoon, they said that they wouldn't be taking them anymore. So this was quite frustrating, but there was still one buying group that was taking these, and that was Buy For Me Retail. They were still paying a $100 commission for the 512 GB and 1 TB versions, but you had to buy your own overnight label. And of course, Buy For Me Retail does not reimburse for lost packages, so you're sort of on your own there. So yeah, this was a bit of a predicament, and I kind of hinted at this in the last episode, but it was a pretty big decision. Like, do I buy the overnight label and send these over to BFMR and be taking that risk? Or do I just take these back to the Apple Store? And aside from all of the time that it would take to return all of these, I would say there are two main ways of thinking about whether or not it's worth it to send them. One is to think about what would it cost me if I wanted to replace the spend from these Apple Vision Pros once I get my refund. Because, of course, I would need to do that so that I wouldn't get clawed back for whatever sign-up bonuses that I'm hitting. Or you can think about just what is my profit in the points that I'm earning from these deals. So for this, it really depends on whether you are spend-limited or bonus-limited. And what I mean by that is spend-limited means that you are limited by how much you can spend by whatever MS methods that you are using, or maybe you even do organic spend. And then bonus limited would mean that you've sort of run out of new cards to apply for bonuses. And so at the time for me, I had just applied for a bunch of these 99X offers, which were spend $4,000 and get 15,000 points. So, I mean, 4,000 times 99 times 3 is quite a lot. So I would say that at this point I was spend limited by these deals. So even though I do have methods to replace that spend at maybe a 3% cost, at the time at least, I was sort of capped on how much I could do with those. So I needed all the spend that I could get. And so yeah, when you think about 4x on the business gold, and then also it works out to 3.75x when you spend 4,000 and get 15,000 points. So that's a total of 7.75x membership rewards points. So even though most of the commissions were eaten up by the cost of the overnight labels, it still was very much profitable, and I think it was worth the risk of the packages getting lost. And I'm fortunate enough to have the bankroll in order to sustain that kind of loss. But if losing 25 or 30K or whatever is going to ruin you, you definitely don't want to be doing something like this. And yeah, for people wondering about how to ship stuff to buying groups with your own label, you definitely want to be using Pirate Ship. It's a service that allows you to use the commercial shipping rates. But even with Pirate Ship, to send off 7 Apple Vision Pros from Portland to New Hampshire ended up costing $455. That was spread across 3 different boxes because, yeah, these things were heavy and bulky, so they were quite expensive to ship. I think FedEx might have been a better deal if you have access to the FedEx corporate rates. Those are not available on Pirate Ship, and then maybe you combine those with some kind of FedEx Amex offer. I'm not really advanced enough to know how to do that yet. But I mean, to me, the pricing seems reasonable. It almost seems like a good deal. If you think about me dropping off a package at 4 p.m. in Portland and it arriving by 10:30 a.m. in some warehouse in New Hampshire, East Coast time, so there's a 3-hour time change, that's like 16 hours. So it doesn't even really make sense to me that that's possible, but yeah, here we are. So yeah, everything worked out fine for these overnight packages to BFMR. There was one hiccup where one of the packages was delayed by a day. So that was a bit worrisome, but it arrived and was scanned in as expected. And then the nice thing about BFMR is that they pay same day, which is great. So tallying things up for Apple Vision Pros, not including the 2 that were bought from my brother, I ended up buying 16 units for a total cost of $57,200. And then I made $1,550 in commissions, but then spent $455 on those labels. And then from the spend, I earned 4x with the business gold. And then I was also stacking that with the spend 4,000, get 15,000 points employee card offers. So that was a total of 7.75x MR. And then valuing those at 1.2, it's a total of 9.3%. So yeah, this stack is pretty incredible. I mean, it only gets better if you got that 10x dining offer on the biz gold. That'd be 14x plus another 3.75x on the employee card. And then imagine if you're stacking a 150k welcome bonus on the card as well. That could be the stack of a lifetime right there. But yeah, the business gold is of course very good because of that 4x on Apple and Best Buy as well. So yeah, 9.3% times $57,200 is $5,320 in profit just from the spend. And then if you combine that with the commissions and the cost of labels, that was a total of $6,415 from the Apple Vision Pro. This was very good. And I mean, just think about how much better it could have been if it was still a $450 commission. And if the deal had lasted into March, I mean, that would have just been amazing. And I'm already looking forward to the next iPhone release in September. I'm ready to go really hard on that one, but not just the iPhone drop. I mean, that's going to be really big. But if you also think about maybe next year, there's going to be the Apple Vision Pro version 2. And who knows, maybe that could also be really good for buying groups. Because a lot of people are saying the version 1 had some issues or, you know, just ironing out the kinks and stuff. So we'll just kind of keep an eye on that for coming around the corner next year. But yeah, iPhones are much easier. Even though it's a lot less spend per iPhone, it's like 3 iPhones equals 1 Apple Vision Pro. Your overall throughput is going to be a lot better on the iPhones because you don't have to wait 15 minutes for them to do all the packaging for each one. And the iPhones are much smaller, so a lot easier to ship. So now I'm just hoping that I'll have an active 99x offer on a BizGold at that time. Even if it's just the spend 2,000, get 5,000 points offer, that would still be good. I'm already strategizing on what to do, but I'm thinking I might downgrade all of my business platinums to business golds instead of canceling them. Just so I'll have more of that 4x cap available, because it's only 150k per card per calendar year. I do have 4 cards open right now, but if things continue at the rate that they're going with Best Buy, I might need to get more. So yeah, that brings me to the next topic of this episode, and that is Best Buy. So I have spent a very significant amount of time this month trying to figure out how Best Buy works. So I'm going to try to explain what I've learned with this, but I'm just going to start by saying that it does require a bit of work to figure it out. And even if I say exactly what I did, it's not like a deterministic thing where what I do is guaranteed to work. So Best Buy is really all about scale and trying to figure out one thing that works and then order 1,000 of them. So a lot of that work is spent into trying to get that first order in. Whereas with Amazon and even Walmart to an extent, it's sort of the opposite, where it's easy to get like 3 accounts orders in, but harder to scale much beyond that. So with Best Buy, and I would say any retailer, I would say that there are 4 main components to every order, and I'll just kind of break each of these down individually. So the 4 that I have come up with are the product, the address, the IP, and the account. And those are already ranked in order of importance. So the first thing is the product. And yeah, this is the biggest factor, I would say, in Best Buy's algorithm in determining whether or not your order will get canceled. So based on my experience, the easiest product that I've been able to order so far has been the Echo Dot. And then after that, any Best Buy laptop. After that, the PlayStation Portals. And then after that, the PlayStation 5, followed by Fire Sticks, and followed by any Apple product. So I would say, yeah, like for any Apple product, drop shipping it directly to a buying group address is very difficult. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. and even getting a lot of orders into your home address can be hard. And then it was also interesting how much harder it was to drop ship Fire Sticks than Echo Dots. So even within the same brand, it really depends on the product. So yeah, the product is the biggest thing, and it's kind of funny how it'll let you order like a $700 laptop, but not a $20 Fire Stick. So the next component is the address that you're going to be using, and this part may take some trial and error, but what I would recommend doing is testing out your address on an easier product to dropship so that you're not just wasting your time on something that is completely hopeless. And I would say try to control your variables as much as possible. So start with a completely fresh account on a new IP address. I like to use the hotspot on my phone. Use a completely new credit card and everything. But with Best Buy, you actually don't really need to use fresh accounts. At least in my experience, if an order gets canceled, it is still possible to use that account in the future. And yeah, for the address, I would just say that feel free to use as many random letters and numbers in the address as you want. And usually, if you wait like 10 or 15 minutes and the order doesn't get canceled, it will most likely get through unless it's an Apple product. Okay, so the next thing is the IP. And you'll probably have the best luck using your home internet for at least the first few orders. And then it's also good to use the hotspot on your phone, like I said before. And then beyond that, I've had pretty good luck with residential proxies. I did hear that some people think it's better to be using proxies that are in the same region as the place that you're shipping to. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I guess it's worth doing that just in case. And then also people say that it's good to use an area code for the phone number that is in the same region. I'm sure that Best Buy is taking in all of these parameters to some extent. And then yeah, the last thing is the account, and I really feel like the account doesn't matter. At least in my experience, fresh accounts don't seem to have much difference from any seasoned accounts. I guess I don't really have any seasoned accounts to try that, but it just kind of feels that way. And even accounts that have gotten canceled many times can still get orders through. So yeah, I really don't think it matters that much, and that's part of why Best Buy is so scalable, because you don't need to invest any time into seasoning your accounts, at least for the laptops and the Echo Dots that I've had success with for this month. I don't know, maybe the secret to dropshipping Apple products is to have an account that's seasoned for multiple years, but I'm not going to wait that long. So yeah, Echo Dots and laptops were what I had success with for this month for dropshipping. And then I did also order a good amount of iPads to my house. And again, it was kind of interesting because iPad Airs were a lot easier to order than the iPad 9. I'm guessing that it's probably because the iPad 9 has been on sale for such a long time and so many people are buying it. Okay, so let's talk some numbers for what I actually ordered for this month. So I ended up getting about 1,400 Echo Dots, and that ended up being about $55,000 worth of spend. I did have some automation tools to help me with the ordering and stuff. I'm not going to go over how I did that here because it's quite an advanced topic, but there is an article in the Patreon for what tools I was using and how I did that. And yeah, I mean, for Echo Dots, at least buyinggroup.com didn't have a limit on how many you could buy. So pretty much the sky was the limit, and I probably could have gotten more, and next time these go on sale, I definitely will get more. Because this was towards the beginning of the month, and I'm still sort of testing out my tools. So at this point, I have a lot more of the infrastructure in place to place even more orders. But I guess we can't really count on them being as easy to order next time as they were this time. I mean, yeah, who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, for the Echo Dots, it was a pretty good deal. It was $40 per unit, and you could buy four of each color every 24 hours. So that's $320 per account per 24 hours. So at the time, I think I only had like 75 accounts that were running this. And the sale was going on for at least 5 or 6 days, so I was able to get quite a bit of orders in from the same accounts. So the next thing for this month was the iPad Airs went on sale, And that was great because most of the groups were just paying cost for those. I was able to get about 60 units shipped to my house, but after that, I got most of my orders canceled. So I'm not really sure if this is reproducible. It just doesn't feel like it's that scalable, because the thing with Apple products is that they don't like to see a bunch of random letters and numbers in the address. So there's only so many variations I can try on my home address. And even then, if you use the same one too many times, that one will stop working as well. So yeah, I feel like Best Buy is pretty smart at figuring out how to not let you get too many Apple products. But I mean, that's fine. I don't think it's really worth it anyway if it's going to be that hard, because shipping to home has its own risks. Like, what if you're not home to receive the order? And also a common thing that happens is, okay, the order gets delivered to your house, but then by the time you get it to a buying group, the payout prices have dropped. And then, of course, it is also more work if you're going to go drop off the stuff or if you're going to ship it out to somewhere. So what I'm thinking is, maybe if there's a really good deal, like for some MacBooks or something, I'll order a bunch for in-store pickup, because that does not require using a shipping address. But at least for now, I don't think I'm going to bother. Because if I'm going to order a bunch of stuff to home and have to go drop it off or ship it somewhere, I want to make sure that I can at least get a good amount to make that whole process worth it. I don't want to be stuck with just 5 or 10 iPads where then I have to figure out how to get rid of them. And at that point, it might not even be worth the hassle. So that was Best Buy, and then I did also order a few AirPods from Costco. The main reason I did that was I was trying to liquidate those $500 Visa gift cards from buyinggroup.com, those that give you 5% cash back. I didn't really intend it to happen this way, but the other liquidation channel that I was using wasn't working anymore, so I had to figure out a way to get rid of these cards. So I just bought those $140 AirPods from Costco, and I also got a few iPads as well. So it was just a small profit there. So yeah, my total spend for Best Buy and Costco for this month, which was mostly Best Buy, was $90,492. And most of that, if it was at Best Buy, like I said before, it's earning 9.3% cash back when you take into account all the bonuses. And then the Costco stuff was just 5% cash back. I did take a bit of a loss on the iPad Airs because some of them didn't make it to these buying groups in time. So that was minus $360. They lowered the payout price from $450, which was cost, down to $435 or $437, which was about 3% below cost. I think they gave us like 4 days notice for that, which is not enough time if you're shipping to home first, but it was still profitable. So yeah, it was a pretty breakout month for me for Best Buy. It was like $82,000 of spend at Best Buy. So it ended up being $7,690 in profit from the Best Buy and Costco stuff. So yeah, like I said, this was quite a bit of work to figure out how to do. And now that I know like what products work and what products don't, I could definitely spend a lot less time on this. And really, all you need to do for Best Buy is find those one or two deals per month that you can scale. So that would either be something like Echo Dots, where it's a small item that you can order a lot of, or if there's any laptop that Buy For Me Retail is taking, because for buyinggroup.com and most of these other groups, there are commitment limits, so you can't really scale the laptops, but BFMR does not have commitment limits, so you can just send in an unlimited number of laptops to them. And at that point, it's really just getting in all of your orders before the laptop goes out of stock. I'm pretty sure for every Best Buy laptop that's not an Apple laptop, it goes out of stock after a few hours. So it is very advantageous to have access to a computer when that kind of deal drops, because it doesn't really happen that often, and that could just be like your month basically. And one other thing on the topic of ordering laptops from Best Buy, it's good to practice to only buy one in each order, because what could happen if you order two or more laptops in the same order is that in your Best Buy order details, there will only be one tracking number for one of the laptops, and then the tracking number for the other laptop, will just be missing from there. And so you have to chat with the Best Buy support in order to get that other tracking number, which is doable, but it just is a hassle. So it's best just to do one per order. And at least with laptops, it's okay to do more than one order per account, as long as you're staying within the total quantity limits. Okay, so moving on to Amazon, and it was another pretty average month for Amazon. It was actually pretty good, just buying a lot of the usual stuff, the iPads and the Apple Watches. My spend ended up being about $43,000 and averaging about 2% below cost, so it ended up being a profit of $1,297. Still just using the Chase Amazon Visa card for the 5% cash back. And all of my Amazon spend is exclusively with buyinggroup.com. And I'm a bit hesitant to do BFMR because they don't reimburse for lost packages. And then I've been thinking about doing some to max out deals, but just the 3-week payout time frame is not good enough for me. And they keep saying that they're going to catch up, but then they don't. So yeah, I'm just not doing business with them, at least for dropshipping Amazon stuff. I did send them the Apple Vision Pro, so maybe there are some deals that make sense for them. And I guess they are nice to have as a backup plan for some items that you shipped at home, and then the buying group that you're intending on sending them to stop accepting the item or something like that. So yeah, that's pretty much it for this month. All I did was buying groups. I didn't apply for a single credit card for the first time in probably a few years. And that's just because of those employee card bonuses on the business gold that are just working really well for me. So for the final tally, we had $6,415 from the Apple Vision Pro, $7,690 from the Best Buy and Costco activities, and then $1,297 from Amazon. So I do have some expenses that I need to count for this, and this was money that I spent on the automation tools and the proxies. I spent $341. The reason that it was kind of high was because I was trying out a lot of different proxy providers because I thought that might be my issue with getting orders in with Best Buy, when really it was more about trying to drop ship products that were impossible already. I did already spend a bunch of money on proxies for March, but in a normal month, I feel like my setup should run me about $100 a month, since it takes a good amount of proxy bandwidth to get the account set up. And now I have like 400 Best Buy accounts, so I think we're good there, at least for now. So tallying everything together brings me to a grand total of $15,611 for February. So another really good month. I did spend quite a bit of time on buying groups this month, but I did learn a lot, so that's great. I am a little bit worried because I have started to see some Amex shutdown reports. So far, that seems like it's only affecting people that are doing very high volume. There's some speculation as to whether it's caused by where the spend is going and whether or not it has to do with employee card offers, but I feel like all of these are kind of related. I mean, if you are doing a high volume, you probably are also doing employee cards. It is still very early to tell. There's only been a few shutdowns so far, but it sounds like they're just getting started. And there's still a lot of speculation, like I said, but my theory is that they're just going after people that are earning a lot of points. I mean, it's as simple as that. My theory is that the threshold is probably somewhere around 1 million points per month, which is sort of where I'm getting at right now. So I feel like I could just be right around that threshold, but I don't think there's anything that can be done right now except to wait and see what happens. As I'm recording this, this is just the first day of the shutdowns, so there's just not a whole lot of data points yet. So we'll see where things are at in a couple weeks. I actually wasn't sure what I was going to talk about for the next episode, so whether or not I have an Amex account in 2 weeks will probably determine what the subject is going to be. I'm trying not to think about it too much, but if I do get shut down, at least it would make for some good content for the podcast, and I can talk about like how I'm going to rebuild. And if you're hitting things as hard as the people who are getting shut down, I don't think a shutdown is coming as much of a surprise to people. It's not really a matter of if you'll get shut down, it's more of a matter of when. I mean, obviously, Amex isn't going to allow you to earn like tens and hundreds of millions of points forever. I'm not really sure if I feel too bad for the people getting shut down because they've already made their money. I mean, some of these guys have made a ton of money off of doing this. And this coming at a time right after PayPal Bill Pay killed their program is not that bad of a timing for those people. And that just goes to show, like, if you're going to be hitting things this hard on the level of these people that are getting shut down, you really should just be going as hard as possible in order to make the shutdown worth it. So hopefully my profile looks reasonable enough. I'm not really even doing that much MS anymore. It's mostly just buying group stuff. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. So sorry that I ended this episode with a bit of a dark note, but yeah, as far as all the buying group stuff, even if it all sounds like a bit too much work for you, I hope that you still found it interesting to listen to. But that's all I got for today. Thanks for listening, and until next time.